Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this show happen. John McKay, how you been doing over there?
Oh, just keeping busy and enjoying the weather and the irrigation's on. Happy dance.
Yeah, no doubt. No, almost a happy dance, I will tell you. Side note.
Yes.
We had a house that we did a home inspection on last week, and there was an irrigation pipe that was busted near the foundation and a sprinkler that was busted near a crawl space vent, and so it did fill the crawl space with some water. It's not exactly what you want to find on the home inspection, so
no,
they are rectifying that. So yes, remember, do your inspections and check your sprinkler system and
yeah,
make sure there's not a leak or broken sprinkler heads. So But you are right, this weather is awesome. Oh my goodness, on Thursday I think it was, when it hit, you know, that 85 to 88 for the first time, it felt, that's just some good living weather right there. Not too hot, feels good, roll the windows down. So we are loving it. I think the only problem right now we are having is finding enough houses and enough time to sleep with this market that's going on right now. So
yeah,
we always like to start off before we hit with some of our local stats and what's going on. We like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate house. And this one on mansionglobal.com came up with absolutely stunning. So the headline that caught my attention was West Virginia's most expensive home lists four. So McKay,
drum roll,
what do you think West Virginia's most expensive home would list for?
$17 million.
Damn, you're, oh shoot, I can't say that on the radio. Dang, you're pretty good at this. So $19.5 million.
Wow.
You came super close. So get this. This place is just gorgeous. It's kind of what you would think for iconic West Virginia. That beautiful stone mansion, really warm colors. Mm-hmm. Your 3,000 bottle wine cellar.
Wow.
Down there. And it is 110 acres, like a forested acreage around the property. One of the things they've seen is last year with work from home and get out of the, you know, major metropolitan areas and stuff, we saw prices shoot up. And the price tag of this one, though, I mean, 19 million, it is the next closest listing in West Virginia, was $13 million. So it is,
wow,
significantly higher than the next best. But I mean, just an iconic home. I would love to tour this place. It just looked absolutely gorgeous. I mean, 16,000 square feet. Are you kidding me right now?
That's nutty.
So that's our crazy real estate house and property. We always like to temper that with some
reality,
local reality of what's happening, and continued low inventory seems to be the story that is just hitting the headlines here in Tri-Cities. So earlier in the week, I had ran some updated numbers on Tuesday this week, kind of preparing to talk to people throughout the week and what's going on. I took out condos, townhouses, and model homes and just ran like resale listing single family inventory, Richland, Pasco, Kennewick, and West Richland. And that report only returned 98 active homes.
Wow.
I mean, that's what, when we said, I think a couple weeks ago, we're at DEFCON level 10 of,
yeah,
you know, of craziness for inventory. That's a low, low number. And so it really requires people to be very, very vigilant in their search, to be willing to miss out on a couple houses and know that ahead of time because of what's going on. And also continues to make the market very, very competitive. So nationally, I always like to take that and look at some reports. And they're, you know, one of the ones that really explains what that looks like is I'm constantly going to an economist that I follow very closely, Elliot Eisenberg. And here's what's driving that. Housing March sales, so those numbers came in March, gave of new homes, gave an adjusted annualized rate of 1.02 million. That is 20% above the strong February number, and that is the best performance we have seen with that number. So of new homes starting nationally, that's the best performance we've seen of that number since November of 2006.
Wow.
So what's crazy is we temper that with the inventory number. And so the inventory of completed homes for sale is at a record low. It's below the 2013 housing bust when we were in that trough. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had the housing crisis 08-09 and then, you know, and then things plummet. So then building stops. So we're below that number. And so it's just, it's crazy with what's going on right now. So the lowest number we've seen on in the trough of the existing completed homes for sale, and then a seasonally adjusted annualized rate that we have to go all the way back to 2006.
Wow.
For us to find. The other thing that we're looking at, and we see these, you know, we see this, and the other thing that people are calling me asking about, I had a conversation with somebody as I was driving over here to the studio. I had probably 9 of these conversations in the last 3 days. And that is, will the housing market maintain its momentum? That's on everybody's mind, mm-hmm. you know, that we're talking about. And so one of the things you look at that has happened is, so last month there was a conflicting number that came out. So the National Association of Realtors said that last month the existing home sales report, the number of sales dropped by 3.7%. For the month before. And so if you just look at that at surface level, people are like, oh, well, that's really, really interesting. But the reason that the number has dropped, the overall number of sales has dropped, is because that nationally there are 410,000 fewer homes available for sale. So if there's less to sell, the argument there is that if more of those homes had been available to sell, we could absolutely be selling those. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just to give an indication, so normally when my agents we're working with our pipeline and stuff, we have doubled the number of buyers in our pipeline over the course of the last 12 months. Because wow. of lack of availability for those buyers to execute on. So meaning that normally if you were working, you know, if you were keeping in your database 500 buyers that are constantly looking, now that's grown to like 1,000. And I'm
because
just using
there's been
false numbers. But because
yeah.
we weren't able to find those first 500 enough homes, now we have a backlog of the rest, and so that's not helping the supply situation right now.
It's kind of like building up behind a dam.
That is a great, great analogy. So one of the things that they're looking at is when that happens, when supply is held back and demand has maintained steady or increased, that is going to keep momentum in the appreciation of the house,
which is a
market.
Fancy way of saying price is going to be going up.
Still, yeah, and people keep asking me; they're calling me all day long, and they're like, "When's that going to happen?" So you look at the forecasters of what's happening. So back in January, some of the big ones that make these forecasts, the Mortgage Bankers Association, in January they had told us when we did a prediction show. They had said that they thought appreciation was going to be 5.1%. Based upon the new numbers, they're adjusting that back to another year of 10% appreciation. Fannie Mae thought it would be 4%. Based upon their data, they're saying 8% now. So it's interesting, too. I'm not going to discredit The National Association of Realtors, they had 6%. They've only, though, increased that to 6.6%. Mm-hmm. I am not, other than being a member, I am not part of their executive team, so I do not know what they're saying or thinking. But if you just take all of those and you average those out, in January, they were saying 5.3% appreciation in 21. The average now has increased to 7.7 based upon if we consider these four or five the experts. And I tell you what, if they're not, we might have a bigger problem. But they should at least have an idea with what direction we're headed there. So things are still looking nationally and locally, price-wise and demand-wise, are still looking really, really strong. So one of the things I always do is I take a look at what are the phone calls I'm getting, what are people doing, calling in and asking, and those conversations that we're having, and what does that look like? And so the big thing I wanted to bring up this week is just people are saying, well, if there's not existing homes to buy, the new construction has to be an option that's on the table. And, you know, if you hike Badger and you look around the backside, you'll see that there's a lot of activity and development. You've got new developments going on at Badger South. You've got new developments in West Richland pushing out. Kennewick, there's dirt being moved and there's lots becoming available. Pasco, Benton City. So we've got options coming. So people are asking, well, then why are we still not able to get under contract and what's happening there? So a great example is a client called me this week and said, Lance, hey, I bought a lot. You know, you had sold me that lot in that great development. And I was talking with the builders and geez, I started pricing out their floor plans. And every week over the course of the last 6 weeks, I was getting a call that said, hey, our base price has gone up by $6,000. We just wanted to let you know about the price increase. And then next week, hey, our base price went up another $7,000. Lumber's gone up. Just wanted to let you know. Well, he went through this for 4 weeks. And then finally, he called me this week and just said, Lance, I'm not cut out for this process, nor is my checkbook.
Yeah.
I need to kind of regroup here and take a look at what's happening. So I wanted to give people kind of a little bit of an insight of what's going on, because we're getting this call a lot. So here's what one thing that's happening is builders have a process, and they also have crews, and they have quality levels that they want to maintain. So it's one thing to have a lot of dirt out in front of us or lots available and stuff ready to go. It's another thing to find a skilled labor force to double up and meet that demand. If anybody out there is listening and you've tried to hire somebody in the last 3 to 5 months, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. You can't just snap your fingers and have the building industry say, hey, we're going to double demand next month. You know, you've got to have a certain number of framers and painters. And also, I just say a certain number. You also got to have a certain number that know what the heck they're doing, not just doing it. And so that is one of the things that we're running into. The other thing that we're looking at is there's been additional overlays and burdens added to these builders with processes and with COVID regulations that they have to follow. So so now they have more demand than they've ever had. They can't find enough skilled labor to increase production to the level to meet that demand. And they have a whole new round of regulations to deal with and processes to add to their existing processes. Then you look at what's happened since April of 2020. Lumber prices have gone up 130%.
Yeah.
And if you look at that, last time I checked, lumber is a big, large component of a house that you're building. And so one of the things that they're looking at is monthly, you sign a contract with a builder. I'm going to build that house. And then he, you know, takes the plans and then he orders the lumber package. And he, you know, draws out the foundation, gets the permit. All of the sudden, when he gets around to paying for that order, 2 months later, that lumber package could have gone up 5 to 7%. What if the builder's working on a 5 to 7% margin himself? Now he's going to finish that project for $0? I don't think so, you know? No. And so people, that's why these calls are happening. So I wanted to also go over, as a buyer, what do you need to know in those situations? Because these are real life things that are happening. So I wrote down a couple points of what you need to be looking at. The number one risk as a buyer out there in new construction that you need to be considering and looking at right now is deposits and earnest money that is refundable versus non-refundable. And then we're going to talk about some of the contract terms that affect this later on with some of my other points. But is your deposit, how big is it? And then is it refundable or non-refundable with that binding purchase and sale agreement? Because what's going to happen is you're going to look and what we're going to talk about next is, what am I pre-approved up to and what can I handle? Because let's say that there's a clause in the contract, and we're going to talk about this after the break. But what if there's an escalation clause in your contract that says if the price of materials and finish work goes up by X percent or an index goes up, the price of your house goes up during construction? Now, not all contracts are written like this, but I'm presenting you things that we're now seeing in our local market. So you contracted that house for $350,000. Everything moves forward. You're midway through the process 3.5 months later, and there's an adjustment, and now the new price is $370,000. Okay. So the new price is $370,000, and then you say, uh-oh, and this is the worst case scenario, but you say, uh-oh. So you call your lender and say, hey, just want to double check. You know, we're at $370,000 now. And the lender's like, no, you were approved for $350,000. You're not approved for $370,000. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to remember. Did that $15,000 deposit I give the builder, was that refundable if my financing was denied? And then you look and say, oh my gosh, no, it was non-refundable for any reason once the foundation was put in the ground.
So you're out 15 grand.
You very well could be, if you're not looking at this as a whole system, what your pre-approval is good for and where you're at. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what happens afterwards and motivations in this situation. When we come back from the break, we're going to take you from that moment through the rest of the process, what you can do as a buyer to be protecting yourself and what you need to be prepared for in this groundbreaking market that we're in.
Right here on News Talk 8.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about, in a low inventory market, some of the considerations for new construction. But then what happens with new construction is things start to get a little bit nutty. So,
because
you know,
of prices.
Prices and the builders not being able to price out the houses because they don't know what the input costs are going to be 2 months from now after they get the permit and start the foundation and do their ordering. So some of the things we're seeing in this market is you're going to hear more and more out there of builders having a waiting list. A waiting list before they have information about the new development. You might see a $250 non-refundable deposit that would then put you in a lottery drawing, and then you would be drawn for lot selection.
Wow.
Based off of when things record in the new development. You also might see some doing reservations where you could pick your lot before, but with that reservation, they're very well could. It's very, very normal now not to have pricing right away. So based upon the builder's schedule, they might not be able to give pricing until they were closer to the time that they will be able to start construction. And then some, as we talked about before the break, some have contracts that they're signing now, but they have escalator clauses in those contracts that could be tied to an index. It could be tied to actual cost of material. When you see that as a buyer, you're going to have to look at those carefully. And then if you have questions about how that works, you're going to have to seek out legal counsel, because that's likely a contract that came from a builder that is not on real estate standard forms. And in those instances, we're required to direct people to legal counsel to review those and see what happens in those situations. So we're seeing a lot of iterations of those things, and people are telling me, Lance, I from California, I used to see this in California. I'm from Las Vegas. I used to see this in Vegas or Phoenix. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but now it's here in Tri-Cities.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, that's the market and the type of things that we're dealing with. So just getting the information out there that people will see that now as a more normal situation for what they're dealing with. Before the break, we went over a couple points as a buyer in new construction, what you want to know and be aware of. Is your deposit refundable or non-refundable?
Yes.
How much is it? Does your pre-approval have room to deal with upgrades and or price escalations that happen so you do not get priced out of that house that you're currently building because of the contract you're in? The other thing that I want to kind of just get out there as reality for people, good, bad, or indifferent.
Reality.
I'm not saying that this is bad. It depends on what side of the fence you're on. Or like I said, good, bad, or indifferent. Here's the situation that we run into a lot of times. Maybe someone gets priced out of this house. Maybe they are in a new construction contract. They don't read it carefully. Mm-hmm. The price escalates from $350 to $370. And the market says it's worth $370, or the contract does. Somebody has a $15,000 non-refundable deposit. They can't close on that house anymore. So they go to the builder and they say, hey, can you work with me? I can't close on this house because it escalated to, you know, XYZ. Well, the builder in that situation, if that buyer goes away, they have a $15,000 deposit because that was the risk they took. That was what they deemed was their risk, whether you agree to it or not.
Yeah.
You agreed to it when you signed. And then now maybe even though the house contractually was worth $370, in this market, the house is probably worth $390. So from the builder's perspective, you know, financially, he's, you know, $40,000 to the good if you don't close on it.
Yeah.
So asking for some, you know, favor or grace in that situation to move business-wise is going to end up costing that builder potentially $40,000 in lost revenue. So you have to kind of be aware of both sides of that equation. Yes, there's some balance in there. Yes, we have amazing builders we've worked with, but at the same time there comes a point when they're making decisions that based upon the market are just negatively affecting what they're going to be able to get. Also, from their perspective too, when they go to buy their next lot and their next dirt, those prices are also increasing rapidly. So they're going to be looking at that. So being aware of what that contract says in your pre-approval letter, I cannot stress that enough, your ability to close on that new construction home. The other thing that we run into a lot is also if you're going to be doing upgrades along the way, you need to make sure you have enough cash reserves to pay for those upgrades. A lot of times those upgrades are very specific to one person. So, you know, if somebody comes in and they say that I want to put $4,000 worth of bright red flooring down, that could be very specific to one buyer. Not everybody probably wants bright red flooring. So if a builder is asked to put that in, they're going to ask that buyer to pay for that in advance, put up the cash for that upgrade in advance. Because if they do not close on the house, and we talked about that risk earlier, the builder could be stuck with having to redo that flooring or give a discount because it's not exactly what the market, you know, the modern market sees as a popular design element. So knowing what, if you are going to do upgrades, knowing what your cash reserves are and what you can afford is huge. The next thing I wrote down to buyers in this new construction option is just please, please watch your budget. We talk about the builders pricing being at the mercy of supplies and things going up. But there is self-control in that build process, which can become a big issue. It's really easy to say, hey, our budget's $350, and oh, but we found this fourth bedroom house, and so we were able to stretch to $375, and so we got the fourth bedroom. And then you sit down at a selections meeting and you're like, well, here's the standard and it's laminate counters and this is what we got and we're so excited for you. Oh, but I want, you know, there's never a better time to add granite. Let's add granite right now.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait a minute, wait, hold the train here. I thought we stretched from 350 to 375 to get the fourth bedroom. Now you're telling me you want to stretch for granite? Oh, yeah, it'll be fine. We're good, you know. And are you good? That's the question you need to ask yourself is, are we really paying attention to that budget in our upgrading situation? That can get out of control quickly. And if your lender and cash reserves do not match up to your budget, that can become a problem really, yeah, really quick. So wrote that down. And then the last thing that I wrote down is, how long are you planning to be in this house?
Do you
need a home office if you change jobs and you're working remotely? Do you, the other side of that coin that we just talked about is, if you get a boat or if you get an RV, is there room to park that beside the house? So going through some of those basic questions of lifestyle, we see as huge. And new construction can be an amazing option. And actually right now, it for a lot of people is a really, really good option in this market with the amount of inventory that we have. And also with the way prices have been going and the cost of materials, looking back and saying, what would that be like another year from now if we continued even at half this trajectory is the right word there. We continued that way, what would this look like? So there's a lot of great options out there. We are helping a large number of people evaluate their new construction choices, evaluate the different builders that are out there, get in and get started in some of these developments. If you have any questions at all, go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot me a message. Inventory. I'm going to get a pick three in here right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of time to give you a ton of details on each one of these, but three fantastic listings. Number one, this place is so cool. If you've thought about owning your own winery, living on the premises, having your own winery, 46601 North Gap Road in Prosser. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. The house has a private entrance. There's a tasting room in the basement. This is absolutely an amazing property. It's included in Yakima Valley's AVA. So this property is coming in at $875,000. You're getting the house. You're getting the tasting room. You could do an event center. You could do a bread and breakfast vision. Amazing property. If that's in the realm of something you've been looking at venturing out and doing, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. Pasco, this is one of those large, just absolutely, if you need room, 6,484 square feet, 6-bedroom, 6-bath.
Wow.
I'm not doing a celebrity house right now. I'm doing an actual
house. This is an actual
house. Pasco. 4604 Sedona Court, perfect guest or in-law suite setup, multi-level house, terraced backyard, beautiful space in Pasco, and that is priced at $725,000. If you've gone out and looked at new construction and building, and that square footage for that price right now, that is an absolutely amazing property. And then pick number three, 1929 West 10th. This is 3.7 acres, irrigated development opportunity in Kennewick. Currently, there's a historic 4-bedroom, 2-bath West Kennewick farmhouse. And this is on, like I said, 3.76 irrigated acres with development potential. So you're getting the house plus potential lots to develop. And that's coming in just under $1 million at $999,950. So there is a lot going on in the real estate market right now. It's moving very, very quickly. Like I say, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and we would love to help. I am going to run out of here with the studio. We'll be reviewing some offers on some other properties. And we're just absolutely would love to talk to you about your options. And if nothing else, you will hear us on the radio right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.